We now come to the question that we have been anticipating since we started this series of lessons. We have sought to give a clear understanding about sin. We have sought to properly define Bible words such as the flesh, justification, righteousness, and sanctification. We have laid a foundation that we can now build upon. The question that we've really been contemplating in the last few lessons is, we're approaching is, what is holiness? We have mentioned holiness numerous times in the first two lessons. However, we have not yet defined holiness. The object of this lesson is to try to provide clarity about the word holiness in our minds and in our hearts. It is important for us to understand Bible words if we are to practice them. You know, there's a great danger to misunderstand what it means to be holy. It is of absolute necessity that we do not fall into the trap of establishing our own holiness. This danger is very real, and we are all susceptible to do that. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 18, being then made free from sin, he became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. What we don't want to do is give our own definition of holiness or what it means to be holy. We know that that is the problem with a Jew according to Romans 10:3. The Bible says they are going about to establish their own righteousness, and as a result, they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Proverbs 16:2 tells us all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. Deuteronomy 12:8 says, ye shall not do after all the things that ye do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. We need to have a clear warning at this point that we are not establishing our own definition of holiness or our own comprehension of holiness. May the Bible define holiness to us. May we accept that definition. And so this is simply an attempt in this lesson to have a proper understanding of holiness. If we're going to talk practically about being holy as he is holy, we must have a proper understanding. Now, let me first establish two, we could say, misunderstandings or misconceptions about holiness. Let me give you two things. First of all, by way of introduction, holiness is not a rank. The word holy is often understood and used, and it's been through history, as a title in reference to a person's rank. As an example, today's dictionary defines the word holy as someone who is dedicated or consecrated to God or a religious purpose. It is a person that is often devoted to the person of God. That person will be called a holy man of God. In reference, for example, to the Pope, the Roman Catholic Church gives the official title of the Pope as His Holiness. When the Pope is introduced, he is often introduced as His Holiness. Now, this title, again, is not given because of his purity of conduct. This title is given because of his rank. It is a title that is communicated with reference to his rank. He is the Pope, and therefore we refer to him as His Holiness. Let me say, holiness is not rank. Secondly, holiness is not religion. Now, I was reading the book Holiness by J.C. Riley. In the following book, he puts forth a list about what holiness is not. And let me give that to you because I thought it encompassed exactly or summarized what I would try to communicate to you. He says, and he writes, that holiness is not knowledge. Balaam had that. Holiness is not a profession. Judah had that. Holiness is not a zeal for certain matters of religion. Jehu had that. Holiness is not morality and outward respectability. The rich young ruler had that. Holiness is not taking pleasure in hearing preachers. The Jews of Ezekiel's time had that. Holiness is not keeping company with godly people. Demas had that. So we determine religion is not holiness. It is important for us to make that clear, that someone today who is attempting to practice any type of religious practice is not a holy person. Religious practice, religious rituals and rites do not make anyone holy. Neither is a rank holy. So I would like to begin with, first of all, what holiness is not. But as we go into our lesson, I want to give you 3 points to help us to have a proper understanding and a proper perspective to try to define with the best of our ability from the Word of God what is holiness. Number one, if you notice, if you have the student guide with you, we notice Roman number 1, the provenance of holiness. Before we can attempt to give a biblical definition of holiness, we must ask ourselves this following question. Where does holiness come from? What is the provenance of holiness? Well, the Bible gives us that answer. In Psalm 47:8, the Bible says, God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness. So holiness comes from God. It comes from God's throne. It does not, it's important, it does not find its source in any other person or place. Holiness comes from God. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13 tells us very clearly, Thou art of pure eyes then to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. And so we establish very clearly here that holiness comes from God. It is important for us that we never and not separate holiness from God Himself. There will never be any true understanding of holiness until there is a clear view of God in our lives. This clear view of God can only come from the Scriptures. We must never establish our own holiness. Holiness comes from God. And so before we define holiness, we ask ourselves, where does it come from? And so we consider the provenance of holiness. Notice letter A in your notes. We consider the designation of holiness. What is God called in the Bible? Well, interestingly, the word holy is often found in connection to God Himself. God, the Bible declares, God is holy. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, the Bible says, And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, we find also that the four beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I believe and would assert that holiness, that God is holy, is God's greatest attribute, or we could say greatest characteristic, because it is the only one that is repeated 3 times. It is that which will continually be repeated throughout eternity. In other words, everything that God does is holy. Holiness encompasses everything that God does and everything that God is. God is holy. Now, I say this very importantly because before we define holiness, we have to establish that God is holy. If there is any comprehension about holiness, there must be a clear understanding about the person of God. We cannot separate God or holiness from God Himself. God is called the Holy One, Isaiah 40, verse 25. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. God is called the Holy One of Israel in Psalm 71, verse 22. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth. O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. God is Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:20, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And so we see that the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Godhead, is called holy when he is made reference to. Another name of God is, or we could say, if you go with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, when it concerns our prayers, Jesus Christ gave a model prayer to his disciples. In Matthew chapter 6, the prayer is to begin thus. He says, Matthew 6, 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, and here it is, this is the first request of our prayers, hallowed be thy name. Now, I'm interested in the word hallowed because it is closely associated with the word holy. The word hallowed means to make holy. It means to purify, to sanctify, to set apart, to honor, to glorify. This is the first request or petition of this prayer, this model prayer. We ask ourselves this, are we praying for God to be made holy? No, God already is holy. We cannot add anything to God's holiness. Are we asking God to be set apart? No, God is already separate from sinners. He is already separate from man and from the world. This request in our praying is that God might be made holy in us, that God might be set apart in us. There is nothing that we can do to add to God. There is much that God can add to us. We all understand that. Nothing that we say or do will add to the holiness of God. But God can reveal himself to us. God is the one who can bring about a change in our lives. You see, what is to be hallowed? The Bible says in Matthew 6, 9, his name. Hallowed be thy name. And so as we begin in our prayer, our first concern should not be about ourselves. Rather, our first concern is that God would be made holy in our lives, that God would be glorified in our lives, that God would be honored in our lives and in the world. And so God is holy. And so we find here a clear understanding as we think about the names of God, as we think about the designation of holiness. We do not separate holiness from God. Letter B, we see the description of holiness. God repeatedly speaks of himself and says, I am holy. God is not only designated as holy, but his life is also described as holy. As we think about our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, when the angel answered unto Mary and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So Jesus Christ, even before his birth, was declared to be holy. In Matthew 5, 17, Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus Christ was holy in his life. He fulfilled the law in every respect. John 8, 46, Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye believe me? Do ye not believe me? See, when Jesus Christ asked, Who is going to convince me of sin? Nobody could convince Christ of sin, for he was sinless. Pilate had a hard time to find any fault in him. He did everything he could to release him, for there was no fault in him. In Acts 3:14, the Bible says, But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible speaks of Christ, our high priest, who was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. 1 Peter 2, verse 22 tells us that Jesus Christ did no sin. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, the Bible says, For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Now, certainly we could truly spend countless hours studying the holiness of God in the Bible. This overview should give us sufficient understanding about the provenance of holiness. We must never separate holiness from God Himself. What brings us to the second point, Roman numeral 2 in your notes. Not only do we see, number 1, the provenance of holiness, number 2, we see the plea for holiness. We ask a second question. The first question was, where does holiness come from? The second question is this: why is God so insistent that His people be holy? That's certainly a good question. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. God is insistent that His people be holy. That's not just true in the Old Testament, it's also true in the New Testament. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 16, the Bible says here, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And again, God is insistent that His people be holy. We find this to be true in Old Testament Israel. We also find this to be true in New Testament Christians. God has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is so insistent that His people be holy because He is holy. You see, believers are called ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is not someone who represents himself. It is someone who represents the interest of the party that sent him. And so as we are ambassadors for Christ, we are ambassadors, we are representatives of God. And so God has the right to be insistent that the people on earth that identify with Him be holy, be set apart for a particular task to bring glory to His holy name. As we consider the plea for holiness, I want to consider two things. Letter A, we see first of all the call to holiness. There is a call upon the life of every born-again Christian. Often people ask and says, well, I want to know what God's will is for my life. I will tell you what God's will is for your life. It is exactly what God said. It is a call to holiness. This call to holiness should not be troublesome to us who have been justified. The Word of God refers to this call as our reasonable service. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Notice with me, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so we are called, notice, to be holy. And please note with me that holy, living a holy life, is that which is acceptable unto God. It means to be a living sacrifice. It is not some strange or some ask that is really often shunned by Christians. It should be readily accepted. It is your reasonable service. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7 says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. God has called us unto holiness. That is God's will for our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting, here it is, holiness in the fear of God. There is a call upon your life, as there is a call upon my life, to holiness. As I said in the first lesson, the subject of holiness is not a popular subject in the 21st century. But it matters not what the world thinks or what carnal believers think. Holiness must be discussed. It must be at the forefront of our lives because it is that which God has called us to. It would be foolish for us to treat God and to not listen to Him as He calls us to be holy. Not only letter A do we see the call to holiness, but letter B we see the cause of holiness. stop. Someone may feel compelled to go at this point, to go back to the first lesson that we entitled, We Start With Sin. Now, we know that we have all sinned. We all have a sinful nature. The sinful nature is so part of our lives that we cannot disentangle ourselves from it. So someone asks the question then, how can we be holy? How is it possible? How can we fulfill the call of God for holiness if we know that there's sin in our lives, if we know that the flesh is real and we are drawn away by our own lust and enticed, as James says, from whence come wars and fightings? Come they not of your own selves and your lust which were again in your members? So we know where all this comes from. We are not ignorant of it, but we ask ourselves here, how can we be holy? Well, the Bible tells us, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, very helpful scripture here, gives us the answer. The Bible says, whereby, 2 Peter 1, 4, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers, here it is, of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. How can we live a holy life? I will tell you how. Because we are partakers of the divine nature. That is why it is possible. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, here it is, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And so here he says, we've been called with an holy calling. Here it is, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. You see, we don't boast and walk around and say, hey, I'm living a holy life. Any born-again Christian who is a genuine Christian understand that he can only live a holy life because of the grace that has been given in Christ Jesus. That is the only way it is possible. Holiness is not possible of ourselves. Remember, we cannot separate holiness from God himself. We cannot live a holy life apart from Christ himself. Which brings us to the third point. Not only do we see, number one, the providence of holiness, number two, the plea for holiness, but number three, the proclamation of holiness. So we have tried to answer the first two questions. Where does holiness come from? It comes from God. Why is God so insistent that his people be holy? Because he is holy. Now we are attempting to answer the question that is the title of this lesson. What is holiness? This is what we must establish in this series of lessons on holiness. If you remember only one thing about these lessons, it must be this definition of holiness. Here it is. And if you want to fill in the blank there in your notes, holiness is being like God. Holiness is being like God. Remember, chapter 1, God is holy. Point number one, God is holy. Holiness comes from God. God calls us to be holy. He is insistent that we be holy because he is holy. So ultimately, what is God calling us to be like? What does God want to see in our lives? Holiness is being like God. I want you to notice that there's really throughout the Bible we see that laid out rather clearly. For example, when we think about the purpose of God, what does God want to see in our lives? Well, let me give you a few points here in your notes. We see that holiness is being conformed to the image of Christ, Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. What does God want to do? To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So holiness is being conformed to the image of Christ. Also, holiness is Christ being formed in us. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. That is what holiness is, Christ being formed in us. We also see that holiness is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's holiness. Holiness is also putting on the new man, Ephesians 4:24. And that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So holiness is putting on the new man. We also can say that holiness is Christ living in me. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So holiness is Christ living in me. We could also say that holiness is being changed from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we could say here, remember, holiness is being like God, so therefore holiness is being conformed to the image of Christ. Is Christ being formed in us? Is us putting on the Lord Jesus Christ? Is us putting on the new man? Is Christ living in us? It is being changed from glory to glory into the same image of the Lord by the Spirit of the Lord. I believe we could say and understand the statement from John the Baptist. He had the right view of the Lord when he said in John 3:30, He must increase, but I must decrease. Pastor Tom Brennan, in his book, Free from Sin, writes, and he says, some form of the English word godly is found in the Bible 57 times. As a word, it does a masterful job of conveying this very thought. When it came into the use in English in the 15th century, it was formed by adding ly, L-Y, at the end, which is an adjective suffix meaning like. To the English word of God. So godly means like God. The King James Version refers to godly sincerity, a godly manner, godly sorrow, godly jealousy, godly edifying. And so what we're saying here when we're talking about being godly, then we should be sincere like God is sincere. We should sorrow like God sorrows. We should conduct our life as God conducts his. We should be edifying as God is edifying. He goes on to write, as a pastor, my job is not to form my church into my own image. As a parent, my task is not to seek to pattern my children after me. As a Christian, my aim is not to become the best version of me that I can become. With all of these, the purpose must simply and ever be to become like Christ. We think of the wonderful hymn, Oh, to be like thee, written by Thomas Chisholm. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's pleasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, the chorus. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. We ask the question, what is holiness? We answer from the Word of God the best we can, holiness is being like God. And may the Lord help us to sing and to believe and to aspire to the words of this wonderful song, Oh, to be like thee, the image of Christ being stamped upon our lives. We will never be holy unless we get a good glimpse of God. We will never be holy unless we understand that holiness is being like God. May we not establish our own standard of holiness. May we not go about to establish our own righteousness. But may we yet submit to the righteousness of God. God has a divine standard. And if we're going to be holy, it means that we're going to be like Him. That is the work that God is doing in our lives. That is what He is seeking to do in our lives. And may we be fully aware of that. And may our hearts break every day where we fail to be like Him. And may our desire be, our passion, through the indwelling Spirit of God, for the empowerment, because we are in Christ, to live a holy life. May we pursue this and understand the heart of God. God says again, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Let's pray.